That was a little Elliott Smith from this brand new
album. Little Elliott Smith, a little dab, a little slice, a little sliver.
Well, you know, don't want to overdo it.
You don't want to. You take a too big slice of Smith, and you got a stomachache for the rest of the night.
Yeah, absolutely do. Smith-shaped, about belly. That's
not pretty.
No, it's not. The song's called L.A. from his new album. I wanted to hear what Elliott Smith thought of L.A. It's not a favorite city of mine.
No. It's in his insightful ribbings are delightful to our ears, no doubt.
I was having a conversation a couple months ago wherein, the topic of cities came up, and I said, I'm not really a big fan of L.A. And somebody said, have you been there? And I said, no. And I was thinking about how much fun it is to develop these strange vendettas against strange places vendettas. You've never been.
Oh, God, you should see me in Detroit.
Oh, you in Detroit? Me in Detroit, man.
Venomous.
Oh, my God.
Venomous. I am like... The Indian cobra, in a basket, ready to strike.
After Motown leaves town, shut that place down.
Shut the whole city down.
Yeah,
there should just be a big switch that shuts the whole city of Detroit down.
A big garage sale in Detroit, of everything.
Yeah.
You want this building? Here's the
Forget
price tag.
It. Yeah,
take the lawnmower too.
Except all the Detroit people will probably buy the buildings back. We'll have the same situation on our hands.
Have they developed that?
We have to bar them from the auction.
Yeah.
And everything that Detroit spawned musically after Motown, especially.
Absolutely.
Needs to be destroyed.
That is the truth. A couple items of business.
A couple items.
That I want to deal with.
On the docket.
On the docket. Where the trade winds are blowing.
They are.
Oh, and it's a sweet, sweet smell. A couple things. I want to make note of the fact that WEFT is broadcasting on the internet through web radio. I love talking about this because that just... reaffirms to me the fact that the Eskimos can hear us.
Yes.
That reminds me.
There was
Eskimos
a doubt,
there
was doubt before as to whether the Eskimos could hear us.
That's why in the early days we would shout a lot.
We would shout a lot, but now it's been confirmed.
The Eskimos can hear us, and we don't even have to shout.
No shouting is involved. Right in the comfort of their own igloo.
And if anyone's ever curious, a great, quick little method on how to build a do-it-yourself igloo. WhatJalen'sLikeYou@hotmail.com is the address, and I will give you the quick igloo recipe. It's very exciting to me. You can locate our webpage at www.prairienet.org/weft. Tell your friends and family to tune in.
That's a good webpage, but I know another webpage that could come right too.
What's that?
Go.to/Joe.
Yes, and that will take you to the What Jail Is Like webpage.
Which is a fantastic layout. And chock full of comedy, if you will.
Yeah, chock full of comedy you haven't heard on the radio.
You haven't.
It's as good as what you hear on the radio, but it's words that are written down.
It's words, and if you can read, you're going to get a big kick out of it.
Mm-hmm. Our man Kurt Toohey is the webmaster, and it's a very exciting thing.
He is. He's a wily guy.
Mm-hmm. It's
and we appreciate all the hard work he's been doing.
It's a lot like commercial sites like Yahoo or MSN.com, except it's Wiley.
Wiley.
And that makes all the difference
in
the
world.
It
makes a big difference. You don't see Bill Gates getting all Wiley on Microsoft.
No, you don't.
So.
Mm-hmm. Boy, if they could bottle Wiley-ness.
And, cheapen it, I think.
Yeah, I'm glad they can't.
Mm, me too.
I like having a monopoly on Wiley-ness. Listen to us on web radio. If for some reason you're in a location that gets bad reception, as Champaign-Urbana being a technology, super paradise, I'm sure that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But if you're going out of the area, if you're moving up to Chicago for the summer, listen to us for the rest of the summer. Also, want to make note, Pledge Drive was like a month and a half ago. We were only on for 1 week of the Pledge Drive because we had transmitter maintenance the second week, which is fine. That was fine. If you're wondering why there's a gigantic volcano in the middle of Urbana, that's because that's where the money went.
Yeah.
That was our community volcano that we put together.
Yeah, we came up a little shy, so we kicked in for the rest of it from our enormous ungodly salaries.
That's how much we cared.
Yeah, because we didn't want construction to just halt, and the city was pretty much tapped dry of resources, so,
We had to cut some corners, unfortunately.
We did.
Instead of lava, it flows lukewarm milk, it's spoiled. It's
spoiled.
Stuff that we get from stores after it's spoiled.
In the short, it was cheaper for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be the short term. In the long term, it would be more expensive to keep changing the milk. So we just had to keep it spoiled.
Yeah,
but it is lukewarm. That's a guarantee.
Yes. It'll put you right to sleep if you get any of that in your mouth.
Yeah, and if you get covered in it, you won't turn to ash so much as just be really grossed out.
Mm-hmm. So there is that. And I want to say that pledging to WFT is the first step in keeping community radio on the air. But sending in your contribution completes the process. Somebody on the sign that I'm reading this from provided a pronunciation guide to the word contribution, which I'm just loving imagining the problems that people were having dealing with the word contribution. Trib. I can't send in my rib. Do I have a Kant rib? Immanuel Kant? I have one of Immanuel Kant's ribs? Where did I get that? I don't have that. I don't think they're talking about me. No, we are talking about you and your contribution. So if you promised us money, the basic theory is if you promised money, send the money to this show or any other show. I think all of the people who pledged on What Channels Like are good, but the rest of y'all, send any money. Membership thank you gifts such as t-shirts, CDs, and lives being spared will be mailed out after we receive your payment. Only when we receive your payments. So we're only going to spare your life after we receive your payment. You're going to continue to be killed if we don't receive your payment. If you missed us during the membership drive, you can still send in a donation to WEFT anytime to WFT PO Box 1223, Champaign, Illinois, 61824.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, they've got the 9-digit zip code here, but I'm not going to read the... The last
don't take a stand. Take a stand. I'm really sick of that kind of movement. As though we don't feel like cogs enough in our life.
Exactly.
We need to be labeled further, numbered further, made more anonymous by our government by giving more specific numbers to refer to us by.
You know, frankly, I can kind of see why they have to, you know, they might have to add numbers to the phones because there's so many more phones than ever. You know, there's cell phones now or a very much.
But is the United States growing?
No.
In, you know.
Annex Canada or don't give me any of this.
Seriously. Are there new states coming up that I just don't know about?
Mm-hmm. So there's that. And I also want to make note of the fact that the next WEFT Airshifter training class is set for Saturday, July 8th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I wake up at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we ensure that we got people who are really dedicated to this.
Yeah.
Got to wake up at 10 a.m.
That's a big haul, especially if you're just a dude.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough thing to do.
At the WEFT Studios, 113 North Market Street in Champaign. Yeah, as in my capacity as just a dude, I generally don't punch in until around like 2 or something.
Yeah.
Class is your first step in getting involved in WEFT and on the air. You do put in long hours as a dude, though. I don't usually punch out to like 3 a.m. or something, you know. Yeah. The fee is $40. It's free to all current WEF members who have paid at the $40 level. So, you know, if you pledged before, you already are a member, you could conceivably get a show on WEFT.
Can you imagine that? You coming in with your travel mug full of coffee, running into us as we're coming to or going from our show, maybe on the way to your show.
Mm-hmm. Hi there, guys. How's it going?
Us saying hi politely, then getting in the car and talking smack about you.
Mm-hmm.
And on how crappy your show is, and how crappy your shoes are. Can you imagine that happening?
It's that much more thrilling when we have specific information about you to
fill in.
Yeah.
And you have faces to put behind the bitter, sarcastic voices that you've been hearing for so long.
Mm-hmm. Class size is limited, so if you're interested in signing up for the next class, that's Saturday, July 8th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., call the Airshifter Training Hotline at 359-6545. That's 359-6545. We don't pick that up because we don't want to hear from you. There are people who do pick that up and do want to hear from you, in theory.
In theory.
All right. Little segment right about now that we're going to take care of this week, because summer's about to swing into action.
And we all know summer is a gigantic time for some movies.
Right. You got warm weather outside, so what do? You stay inside.
Stay inside in the air-conditioned movie theater, watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? I don't know. That's the risk you take. You throw the dice, you pay the price when you go to the movies in the summer. And that's part of the whole thrill, the part of the whole attraction, if you ask me.
But we're going to take some of the element of risk out of it. Because, let's face it, you don't know anything. Your critical capacities are absolutely pathetic. And
to strain your brain by trying to make a valid judgment call on a movie, whether it's going to be good or bad, would really just cause it to blow a fuse.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's face it, you're only making minimum wage, and you're not making much of that. So you don't have a whole lot of money to spend at the movies.
So you don't want to throw your money down on something that's ultimately going to turn out to be a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm. And you've only got like 3 months to live, so you don't want to waste any of your life in a bad movie anyway.
And since we've seen every movie that's in existence, why not use that to your advantage?
So we're going to tell you what's out, what to think about it, and whether or not you should go, in a little segment called...
movie reviews.
The way this works is we come up with a movie that, of course, we've seen, and we, in detail, spoil every surprise, twist, and turn by giving a critical analysis of it.
Well, let's face it, people don't like surprises.
They don't. Scary. Last time you got surprised, people got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me doing the killing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at my own birthday surprise party.
Yes.
But, you know, I was excited. That's what happens when surprises happen. So, a little anecdote against the nature of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to deflate all the surprise from the movie from you, making sure that you only retain a small bit of the enjoyment when you actually go to pay the admission price and watch the movie.
You know, there are powerful lobbies out there that would like us to keep the surprise in, because they're connected to the deep, insidious force of rubber pants makers.
It's true, and we're talking about powerful lobbies with big, cushy chairs and ornamental end tables.
Yes.
And big, towering rubber plants.
Yes. So we're going
to these aren't lobbies to be messed with.
Right in the face of that. And tell you about movies that are out, such as Mission Impossible 2.
Mission Impossible 2 came out in the theaters. A long-awaited Mission Impossible 2 directed by
John Woo.
Thrill seeker.
Mm-hmm.
Action-adventure movie maker John Woo. Known for his very dense action sequences. High-budget, high-risk, high-gloss kind of action sequences. Mm-hmm. And he signed on to do Mission Impossible 2 starring Tom Cruise.
Yes, superstar Tom Cruise.
Superstar that he is. You really can't get better than Tom Cruise, and I really got to commend the combination of Woo and Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really unparalleled, especially in this film.
Yeah. I want to say that, you know, Woo Cruise, that was a good choice, you know,
seriously,
as opposed to Cruise Woo.
Because
you got to go, you know, there's the ass that you got to go on the Cruise Woo.
Woo Cruise. Actually, was the prototype slogan for the posters. Woo Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it, you know, was a little wordy. And might confuse people who weren't really familiar with Woo's name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I gotta also commend Woo. He could have really just phoned this thing in, you know? He could have really just been pulling the same old tricks out of the same old bag of tricks and putting them down on film, gotten the desired response, but he really took a lot of edgy turns this time.
Yeah.
Really broke a lot of format, and broke new ground for himself as a director, I think.
It's not the same old tricks. You know, it's not a rabbit out of a hat. It's a hat out of a rabbit.
He hat out of a rabbit. And that's painful
live rabbit.
And entertaining.
Mm-hmm. The rabbit has teeth.
And, of course, that's what Woo was going for, painful and entertaining. That's his forte. So he's not going to mess around too much with the tested formula. But I got to say, by surrounding Cruise with a whole team of co-stars that were all six or under...
Mm-hmm.
Very powerful choice.
Yes.
He's really, really weaning new actors to kind of come into their own in a really high-budget professional setting that will really cause them to bud into full-grown actors. That is, if they survive the making of the movie.
Yes, which, you know, a few didn't, but...
A few didn't.
That, you know, that just enables the future of movies, just not waste their time with these actors. Who
don't waste your time if you can kind of keep up with the rapid, intense pace that, you know, is warranted by the making of a film. Then you might as well just be killed by a stray piece of metal or a motorcycle tire.
Or be dropped off a cliff.
So, kind of doing the world a favor, at least the acting industry a favor. And on the other hand, the people that do survive the making of the movie have so much promise as actors that they're guaranteed movies and a very successful career in the future. As soon as they're learned to kind of speak their lines and not wet themselves.
Kind of one thing I am kind of disappointed about, the mission in question, it's not terribly impossible. You know, I mean, it's difficult, but
it's hard. It's not maybe easily achieved by the normal Joe Schmo. Okay? It's maybe what the title should have been.
Right.
But impossible, kind of stretching it. You know, especially because you go into this movie knowing, well, Cruise is probably going to do it by the end of the movie.
Yeah, he's probably going to pull it off.
Probably going to happen, some special effects, glitz and glamour, but it's going to be done, kind of making the title Impossible seem not so appropriate.
Cut your damn hair and get a job. I think
seriously,
Cruise can do it. You know,
I think
it's going to be
so
difficult,
too.
But he could do it.
Kind of. So, a little elbow grease and some ingenuity. It could be done.
Yeah, a little suspense there was gone.
And the mission also in question was nothing more, to spoil the surprise, than Tom Cruise returning some late library books.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? sure, they were big and heavy, and there were a lot of them.
Yeah.
And the libraries were librarians were slightly incensed by the fact that they were late, and those fines were racking up.
Well, and the one book on Wales had a plastic cover originally that was missing when it returned it. You know, it's a lot of tension. So you just go on the lam, you know.
He had rented from several libraries, and was he going to get the right books to the right libraries? These are all factors that create the suspense in the movie.
Mission Impossible 2, though, really is a cautionary tale about, you know, about mixing libraries. You know, about going to a lot of libraries without, you know, really carefully coordinating your efforts without knowing what you're getting into.
John Woo was clearly making a statement about, a statement advocating library segregationalist. Segregationalism. Trying to keep the libraries apart and separated and independent of each other. And not really promoting a cohesive library community.
Yeah, and
he's
not
into that.
There's a lot to be said for, I think, the cohesive library community, which, you know, I'd like to see. I wish he had presented a more balanced argument in that
sense. That's very true. He kind of made it seem like there was no other alternative, where I disagree, because I've rented from multiple libraries before, and it's been successful. I've actually got a full, complete, thorough picture of the knowledge I was seeking.
Yeah, you don't lead a frantic, crazed life. You know, your decision to rent from multiple libraries didn't have you hanging on a cliff.
Now, the 3-year-old evil librarian, stunning performance, I gotta say.
Oh, absolutely.
John Woo compensated nicely for the fact that the child lost an arm midway through production.
Yes.
And kind of worked that into the script, did some last-minute changes, and made it an evil librarian child without an arm because he lost it doing some nefarious deed.
Yeah, it was almost it became a strong textual choice. The fact that the 3-year-old flung his own feces at Tom Cruise's character was a little bit questionable because I've never personally seen a librarian do that. It is entirely possible that that John Woo was traveling to different libraries than we were. And maybe, you know, the librarians do fling feces theirs. Personally, I'm just charged late fees. But it could be a whole different world.
Right.
The striking vision, though, of the 3-year-old diving in slow motion and throwing feces with both hands.
Both hands. Nothing to support himself when he falls.
Yes. That was kind of impressive. I did like that. But other than that, a little weird. A little weird use of librarian. Hi. Thank you so much.
That's so sweet.
Have a good night.
You too.
You know, can we just take a little break?
Yeah, we can take a little
break. Always time to take a break, even from such an exciting movie like Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah.
To say thanks to our listeners when something nice goes down, which, as you might be able to discern, has just gone down.
Woo!
Oh, well-deserved. Woo!
A little something with a straw has just gone
down.
Two
somethings with a straw. And, you know, we're not talking your drive-through steak and shake milkshakes.
Which is not to say that we haven't...
Not to say we don't appreciate that, but it sucks those down with reckless abandon. But we're talking handmade Courier Cafe chocolate milkshakes.
Hand-dipped, you know?
Hand-dipped, double-cupped. Don't want our hands to get cold. Straws, partially wrapped, easy to be pulled off.
But they've kind of... Yeah, the partial wrapping so we don't get germs from commoners.
No germs.
No.
No tampering... You know, this kind of thing just warms your heart.
Yes, it does.
Ironically, with a cold milkshake. Warms your heart right over. Makes you want to do cartwheels.
I feel so good. Suddenly, the temperature in the studio is at a very,
it's brought down.
Normal level.
Suddenly, I don't hate the listeners as much.
No.
As vehemently as I did moments ago.
Yeah.
I think for this is the fourth time it's occurred to us.
Yeah.
And what is rapidly turning into a long upheld tradition.
Yeah.
That could see spiraling into a nationwide tradition.
Yeah.
Where everybody's sending us milkshakes. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
No.
Or forget my roots.
Well, it just gets more difficult each time because somebody does an absolutely beautiful thing like this for you, you know, and then you got to go back on the air and, you know, reinvent your hatred for humanity.
You got to summon it out of somewhere.
That emotional recall process, you know.
It's really temporarily, you know, completely halted. And what do? How do I get back on the air, continue to hate people, misinform people, and degrade people?
You go back to your memories, you're thinking, yeah, well, you know, that guy I did see earlier today did look like a jerk,
and that guy really cut me off in traffic today, and I really still hate him.
But was it all that much of a big deal? Because I've got a milkshake.
Wasn't that bad? Because look at me now, what I'm doing, and look how happy I am now.
Yes. got my lips wrapped around the straw of a milkshake.
Can it get worse?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really that bad to begin with? So, you know. And, of course, the answer always is yes, it really is that bad.
Yes, of course.
I mean, we always find more hatred to squeeze out of our cold black hearts.
Yeah, we reach deep down, because that's how much we care,
mm-hmm.
or don't care about.
Right down to the bottom of the souls that we don't have,
mm-hmm.
to pull out more hatred fresh from you, for you, about you, usually,
mm-hmm.
concerning you. And, you know, I gotta say, if once we found that, it really is hard to even just keep talking while they sit in front of us.
Yeah.
There's a definite desire to just abandon the microphone,
mm-hmm.
and run out in the streets.
It's very tough.
Suck down the milkshake.
But, of course, it was always in our plan to abandon the microphone, so we're not really abandoning it. We were planning on going off to a song after we only dealt with one movie. So yeah. That's really not a change in our plan.
Not at all.
Because everyone knows we always do that.
Because a milkshake left untended can really just turn into milk,
mm-hmm.
and that's not good for any of us.
So let's go off and do that. The phone number is 359-9338. It's not like we're going to answer the phone, because we've got a very important task to deal with off the air. But that is the phone number. And stay tuned, because you know, we'll drop a little more information after this song by, this song, which will be good. Bye.
Oh, yum.